With the first pick of the WDRT draft, the Driftless Area selects View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, buddy.
That was good.
That was a good one. Thank you. Thank you. It is draft season.
Really?
It is. It is. We're doing this recording a couple days early. There was a couple of events this week in sports, but enough to fill.
There's an event?
Well, the Brewers. Played a few games this week. The Bucks are not playing particularly well in the playoffs, and there was a trade.
Really?
A couple on Monday. Yep.
What kind of
well,
trade
most
would that
of be? Us were, you know, working, paying the bills, doing our thing. Former Packer quarterback.
Hold on. Say that again.
Former Packer quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is his name. I got it circled here. He is no longer. He finally, Charlie Behrens said that the longest Midwestern goodbye ever was Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers. It has taken a couple months now. I know because we've been talking about it. What it feels like
6.5 weeks, I believe, is what they said to him the day one. He's kind of said, "Yeah, I want the Packers and nobody else."
That feels right.
Yeah.
That feels like we've been talking about for 2 months now. It's finally done. Jets. He's current New York Jet quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Traded on Monday.
Traded on Monday
To the Jets. Pretty sweet haul if you're the Packers, for all the heel dragging that both franchises
according to everybody, there was like the last 2 weeks prior to like Monday.
Yep.
They hadn't been talking.
Okay.
They're at a complete stalemate, and then all of a sudden Sunday, I think they said that the Packers and Jets have resumed talks. So
if you're the Jets, you've got the player you wanted. You got the player that wanted to come play for you, he said a few times. So, and you didn't have to give up a first-round pick this year, so you save some face with your fans. You give up a second-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year.
Well, second-round conditional next year.
And, you know, we were talking 65% of the snaps, if Aaron Rodgers plays them, the Jets give up a first-round pick, not a second-round pick, and we were looking.
On an interesting side, I just thought of this now.
Sure.
So what if they're like 60%? They're not going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they
go,
we're not going to do anything.
We're going to find out what Zach Wilson can do for these last three games.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Jets, you don't have any real loyalty to Aaron Rodgers. Knock yourself out. That would be such a fun way for the Aaron Rodgers experience to end for everybody.
Aaron, you know what? Thanks for your use for the 60% of the games.
Yeah. Yep.
And goodbye.
That was a good 12 games we got out of you. Have a good career. Yeah. No. If he plays 65%, which last year he played, you know, 70, he missed four games.
Yeah.
So if you're missing four out of 17, you're, you know.
It's right there.
You're getting right there on the line. You get a first round. So next to the Packers received. They traded first-round picks.
Swapped them.
Packers now have the 13th pick. They got the 42nd pick in the draft, a sixth-round pick this year, and a second-rounder becoming a first-rounder next year. So if you're the Packers, you get your couple of high draft picks that you were holding out for because Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer. You know, you hate to give him up for nothing.
Yeah.
And, so everybody wins. The Jordan Love experience can officially begin.
Yep, and he's under contract, I think, for this year and next.
Yep, he's got 2 years to show, and the Packers now have the draft capital that if Jordan Love isn't that guy, and you feel like you're going to find out pretty quick, if he's been waiting in the wings for 3 years and he doesn't come out the chute playing well, you don't know enough to call him a bust, but we're going to find out real quickly season.
It follows suit to the last two quarterbacks for Green Bay.
Yeah, no, this is...
Not Favre, but did Favre? I mean,
Favre was in his third year when he started.
He did. Yeah, he was Atlanta first.
Correct.
That's right.
Yep. And Aaron Rodgers sat, and Jordan Love sat, and now if you're Packers organization, your first time in probably a decade, you haven't thought, what would Aaron Rodgers like us to do?
2 decades. Really.
It feels like
18 years.
You know, when he was a young quarterback, you were trying 15. To win the Super Bowl, and then it seemed like for the last 5 years, you've just been trying to appease this fairly experienced, aged quarterback. You get to draft players that just make your team better.
Yep.
And you have the draft capital to get at least one more guy.
Wouldn't that be the heck of it if Jordan Love went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't that be like a big
also that
slap?
Follows suit with Packer quarterbacks?
Yes,
you know, like
I
it's
know.
It's it is. We're just gonna keep assuming they're gonna keep doing well with quarterbacks. They're gonna be, yeah, and why not?
Be
you know,
miserable.
It because they could. You'd like to assume he'd be better than what Aaron Rodgers would be this year. You know, because they were gonna lose a lot of money regardless.
Yep.
in this trade. So, yeah, no, super. It's a weird thing to not be excited because it's not news, right? Like, as a Packer fan, you've been hearing about this. You've been waiting for this.
I think for the most part, too, I think all the Packer fans, not all, but most, are like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
This whole thing's done. Let's move on, move forward.
We're not anti-Aaron Rodgers fan. You know, it's not... He's.
Well, I am, but...
You are because you're not a Packer fan. Well,
yeah.
But if, you know, we haven't reached that stage where... I think if he came back next year, yeah, we get to really not like Aaron. But no, he's a Jet, and we get to... I don't know if we play the Packers, play the Jets next year.
This
I didn't
year.
Look at the schedule.
Yeah, near.
I would assume they didn't because you would have heard about something like that big reunion game this year. But yeah, if you're a Packer fan and you're going into the draft, first round of the NFL draft is Thursday. So if you're hearing this on Friday morning, the Packers the draft has already come and gone, and we will next year or next week. Talk about
Sorry.
You know who the Packers drafted and who I can't believe they got this guy and that guy, but no, if you're the Packers now, you don't have to think about any of that. You can just think, who do we want? And I made a quick list. I did a little bit of research looking at the different mock drafts because
yep.
It's a couple days away. The Packers need my offensive line. They need offensive skill position, whether it's wide receiver, tight end.
Yep.
And they need something, a starter on defense somewhere. Their secondary was not great. They could use an extra. They don't need a linebacker in the first round. They've drafted one a couple times. They don't need a defensive lineman in the first round. They've done that a couple times. I would really, really like to see a tackle. I'll just say out loud, just in case I'm right with any and all of these come next week.
Yeah.
Broderick Jones is a tackle from Georgia. You know, 3-year starter for a national championship. Red, you know, he's a highly recruited. He's highly rated. Offensive tackle Broderick Jones, if you're drafting 13, fits really, really well with what the Packers are looking for.
Yeah, because they don't have to worry about running back because they're good there.
They're good running back. Decent. They've got good cornerbacks. They've got good. I mean, they've got Rashawn Gary. He's very well paid. They've got first round pick Quay Walker in the middle. They drafted a first rounder on the defensive line last year. They still have Kenny Clark. Yeah, I'd like to see. They need an offensive line. David Bakhtiari is now the highest paid Green Bay Packer. He'll make $40 million. So if you can find a way to get out of that, that would be really nice. Because now you're a rebuilding.
Do you think you should give thank you cards to Aaron Rodgers on that one, I think?
I would assume. Yeah, I would assume they're on good terms. Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because now you can officially feel okay about rebuilding,
yeah,
right? If you're
right.
A Packers franchise, you can say, we can go young now. We've replaced our quarterback, our flagship guy. We've replaced him. We can replace every single aging starter or backup on this team. David Bakhtiari can go, and Adrian Amos can go.
The problem, I think they're going to do. I would laugh if they did a wide receiver in the first round this year, because they never have.
Finally, did something to help their quarterback.
Well, because he lost Alan Lazard
Correct.
To the Jets.
Oh, they have.
Really. I mean, there's three wide receivers really.
Under and they're all the rookies they got last year are the only wide receivers that played. That are on the team. Randall Cobb probably not going to be around.
No, he'll probably go to the Jets.
And probably go to the Jets. Yeah,
free agent.
So yeah, I mean the Packers could draft, and because they have, they could use a wide receiver. They could use wide receiver early, but wide receivers seem to go anywhere in the draft. You can be successful finding the guy at the top of that second round. There's a safety from Alabama, Brian Branch. Once again, they get themselves a defensive SEC player, but he replaces guys as a starter. And then finally, they get around to maybe selecting a tight end in the second round. You got 2 second-round picks.
Yep.
You can get your skill position guys. I like the tight ends from Utah, and that Michael Mayer from Notre Dame looks good. But Darnell Washington is a 6'7", 265-pound Georgia tight end.
Yeah.
That would be a fine target if you're a Jordan Love. So if you're a Packer fan, like I said, you'll be watching the draft.
I mean, now that this is all done, and now that you have all the draft capital, I think it's just very positive. I mean, being a Viking fan, I hate it, but it makes it your future a lot more flexible. You could do a lot more things.
Yep,
it just make everything better.
It feels like a year too late, but it definitely makes the season. The thing is, next year if they are 10-7 next year, that feels like a successful season.
Yeah, right.
That was a disappointing season for a very long time, but with a new starting quarterback and a whole bunch of young players. 10-7 would be great.
Well, that's like Minnesota last year with Kevin O'Connell.
Correct.
You know, Kirk Cousins. No, you ain't. Well, we'll get hate. You know, maybe we'll hit 500 and just do half and, you know, 8 and whatever. Huh.
Well, once a little 13 momentum.
13-4, and you're like, well, geez.
That feels like the maxed out.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're predicting now, and you could predict the Packers could win any, they now feel like they could win a division because they've got a little flexibility, yeah. And you draft the right guys and you fill the holes that you need to. It feels like finally, and like I said, being a Packer fan, you could always be optimistic because they've always been really good. The good is coming right around the corner.
Right.
Over the last 25 years.
Well, 30 years between Favre.
My entire lifetime of watching sports, you could check Packers winning the North as the thing that was going to happen. So, that was the big news.
Yeah. I mean, when you stick with the draft or?
What do you got?
Well, I mean, there's not much. I think my Minnesota Vikings have like 5 picks, and they don't have a second round.
They don't because they made a trade for
T.J. Hockenson, which
worked out super well for them.
Yeah.
Like I said, we could definitely there's players all over the place for that the Packers should pick. If you look in depth, who all of our favorite teams could pick. I think next week when the draft has come and gone, it'll be a little more. Impactful.
Well, it'll have happened, and it'll be everything will fall into place because you talk. I mean, listen to all the experts; they're like, Todd McShay is like, bleh.
And it's also it's interesting that with these mock drafts, every team has the holes filled on their roster. You know, like these drafts come up absolutely perfect, so that every team gets the exact right guy to solve the problem that their roster has, and. As you know, that's impossible to do because NFL GMs are not very good at their job sometimes.
Yep.
Scouts get these wrong all the time. Guys who you think are first rounders slip and slip and slip. Guys that look like third rounders get picked because all it takes is one team.
Yeah, one team that likes them.
It's that fun thing where you don't have to win over 32 franchises. You got to win one.
See the Minnesota Vikings with Christian Ponder.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's all it takes. See the Packers with... let me see. Justin Harrell. Justin Harrell was a few years ago, but he was a defensive tackle with an ACL injury that the Packers he did something real good at a bowl game. They liked him. They drafted him. Was terrible. Did nothing. I mean, yeah, that's it. We could definitely talk draft next week. I can't believe they picked this guy or they picked that guy. And we might actually circle back if we got a little bit of time because I wanted to talk because that, like I said, the Aaron Rodgers thing was the big event, but it wasn't a shocking turn of events.
Like the Bucks.
I would have loved to have seen him go to a different team.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's just on the Niners for no reason at all. Instead, you know what I mean? Like, that trade would have been exciting. We would have just talked about that for 30 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
So instead, let's talk about things that were at the Bucks. The Bucks lost yesterday. I watched an entire NBA game up until the last...
They were up. I mean, at one point, they were like 11 points up.
Yeah, I took note on that one during the game. They were up by, I want to say they were up by 12 or 13.
Yeah, it was up there.
14. There was 14 points with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they lost. They very surprisingly, they got beat by the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, Marquette's own Jimmy Butler, scored a career high, and it was the fourth highest playoff total ever, 56 points. From the first quarter, he scored 20 in the first quarter.
He was on fire.
He looked incredible.
Right.
Giannis is the best player in the league, and Jimmy Butler was the best player in that game, in that series, really.
Yeah, so far.
He's been unbelievable. The Bucks looked great the entire game. You know, Brooke Lopez put up 30. Brooke Lopez looked like the best big man in the series. Giannis had a triple double, and the Bucks still lost.
So, do you think it's coaching?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean,
because they didn't cover.
Mike
Butler.
Budenholzer is a coach of the year.
Right,
he's an NBA champion, and a lot of coaches get a little bit of pass. I'm not a coach enough to say why weren't they just running double teams at this guy why wasn't Giannis just covering him? Well, Giannis is the best defender in the league. Why isn't he covering it? There, it felt coaching because Eric Spoelstra has also the coach for the Heat has also won titles.
Who's
titles, and he was making adjustments. His team is an 8 seed. Only 3 times in NBA history, this will be the fourth, has an 8 seed beat a number 1 seed.
Yeah,
and, up 3-1 feels like it's over. I mean, there's nothing about the Bucks team. They were playing at full strength, and they couldn't.
Yeah,
they couldn't beat Miami. Miami's got real, real talent. Miami was in the finals a couple of years ago.
But you never count. I mean, Butler doing 56.
That's the thing is that their best player scored 56, and they only won by I think it was 119-114. Right. There's some stats in here. We got Miami shot 8 for 9 in the last 6 minutes. Milwaukee was 4 for 13 in that same chunk, and they were outscored 30-13 in those last 6 minutes. They played absolutely perfect down the stretch, so that does give you a little hope as a Bucks fan. Think they gave you their best game, and it didn't eliminate the Bucks. But if another game like that,
they have to do 3 in a row now, don't they?
That is correct. Oof. Yep, you've got. And, you're the best team. They had the most wins in the league.
Yeah.
This was the team that should, they are favored in every game. They were favored by 7.5 points in the last game. I doubt very much that they will be favored again in this series. Miami's just outplaying them.
Yeah.
And outcoaching. And, because Miami,
So. It reminds me of Golden State, Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Cleveland was down 3 games, and they had to run 3 in a row to win the whole enchilada. But yeah, they came back.
The Bucks don't have that feel to them. It feels like you should be able to beat these teams if you can't get up for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how do your starters? Maybe it's coaching. Maybe I got to stop watching with so much optimism and just realize.
Welcome to being Minnesota Vikings.
They won a championship a couple of years ago. I should be happy with that as a Bucks fan. But once you've got a taste,
you want it more.
Once you got it, they should win every time, every game, continuously.
Timberwolves are actually still in the playoffs.
Still creeping along, are they?
They won their last game, but so they have to run the next. I think they will have to win the next 3.
They're in the same. They're down 3-1. Yeah. Okay,
but they've been looking. They got lucky.
Sure.
But Towns is looking phenomenal. I mean, if they could build around him and just make it better. Like I said before, I'm not a big NBA fan, but I watched during the playoffs a little bit. The Timberwolves in the first several games were like disjointed. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing. Maybe it was the nerves of actually being in the playoffs time, But
yeah, these are
it's hopeful. I mean, once again, I'm a Minnesota fan, so hey, they're in the playoffs. Cool.
And maybe that gives you next year a little bit of, if you're a Timberwolves, some optimism. Yeah. Karl Anthony Towns is always he's incredible to watch, and then somehow or another, he doesn't win. It's a strange thing when guys are
Kevin Garnett,
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Basically, what we're saying is if you're on the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're going to be a terrible team.
Just assume it.
You're going to be an underwhelming team with one talented player forever. other disappointing things that happened this week. The Brewers were disappointing. For the first time in this very young season, the Brewers had a terrible week.
Oh, no.
They went 1-3.
Ouch.
So I would grade them as a loss. If we were doing the football scale, I'd say the Brewers are now 2-1 on the season. Their record is 15-8. But they went 1-3 last week. They lost 2-3 to the Red Sox, and they lost Monday to the Tigers 4-2. Tigers have a terrible record. Red Sox are below .500. And the Brewers lost Garrett Mitchell. Garrett Mitchell played really, really well at the end of last year, played really well in spring training, started out the year on fire. Starting center fielder, can do a little bit of everything. He's going to do a whole lot of sitting for the year with a torn labrum.
Ouch.
Tore his shoulder up sliding into second or third and at the end of one of the games last week. So he's out for the season.
Ouch.
The other rookies that were started out on house on fire. Joey Weimer is now hitting a solid .206, and Bryce Turang is hitting .224, which is how you end up being 1-3 for the week. They've cooled off quite a bit, as rookies do. They are testing out their AAA depth really early in the season because they have a on their disabled list is a really long list. And I'm going to give you a long list. These are all starting people who should see Adrian Hauser, Matt Bush, Garrett Mitchell, Tyrone Taylor, Luis Urias, Gus Varland, Brandon Woodruff, Aaron Ashby, all of them on the DL. All of them should be playing. So you're looking at, I mean, good thing they have a cushion at 15-8. Gives you the opportunity to bring up some AAA talent and hope maybe some of them catch fire, but it gives you a chance to maybe in a couple of weeks start seeing these guys coming back. So, yeah, and the next week actually would be a really good time for the Brewers to get back on that hot streak. They play the Tigers, the Angels, and the Rockies. The Tigers are 8-13 on the season. The Angels are right around 500, and the Rockies are 7-17. So yeah, if you're the Brewers, this would be a really, really nice time to somebody to catch fire. Again, Brian Anderson is still hitting the ball really well. Willem Contreras, player they picked, the catcher that they that they traded around for, is hitting well over 300. Might be the best offensive catcher in the in the game currently. Like I said, super early in the season, but. When you're not a team with a lot of depth because you're not a team that spends a lot of money, you are just hoping to kind of keep the wheels slowly turning, keep a Band-Aid on some of these guys. Yeah. The Brewers every year seem to find some amount of depth, free agents and guys on their second and third teams, guys coming off injuries that they can scrape some innings out of. It generally works out pretty well for them. So, you know, keep listening on, keep watching, keep being. They're 15-8. They're still winning their division. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, the first time in the season that they've not done.
Yeah.
They haven't won a series. They didn't win a series this week.
Oh.
Right. That's usually their thing. So yeah, where are you at? Where are we at for time wise? We got about.
You got time.
Okay. Good. Do you want to? You want to do a song, real quick?
Well, I thought we were gonna wait till the song to the end of the time.
Oh, okay.
That'll I think good. It'll be more fitting.
Okay, yeah, you know, you're right.
Because there'll be more enjoyment on my side.
Do we have to just start bringing up again what Vikings things? I don't like the smug look on your face with Aaron Rodgers gun today.
I mean, that's going to be there. You got to understand, 31 years between Favre and Rodgers, you know, how many quarterbacks did we go through in the last 31 years?
I mean, that is a fun list. Can you start that list again for me?
Because
I love just saying the name Joe Webb over and over again. Like, that's right, Joe Webb was a Christian Ponder. You had yourself. I know you had some Hall of Famers in there. Like, I'm not misremembering Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon being Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks, but it's that list since, and I do, and by the way, the Chicago Bears have the same terrible, terrible list that the Vikings. You shouldn't feel alone in your,
I still do.
In your funk. The Lions, there hasn't been a good quarterback. The second best quarterback in the North during this era might be Scott Mitchell. Matthew Stafford. Might be hard to tell. There hasn't been. Oh, that is a fun list of Vikings quarterbacks, by the way. I forgot McMahon was a Vikings quarterback for a hot minute. Yeah.
He was a quarterback, I think, for all the teams for one. But yeah, you know, we're looking at what year did Favre come in and start?
Oof.
94.
I wanted to say 95. I wanted to say 96, but that was the year they won the Super Bowl, so it's probably 94.
So 94 was Warren Moon, Sean Salisbury as a backup. Warren Moon. Then the Brad Johnson year, Randall Cunningham came in to back him up, won the job. There was Randall Cunningham, Brad Johnson backing him up, Jeff George, Then we had a little consistency.
That's some solid retreads.
Yeah, then we had Dante Culpepper till 2004.
And actually, you're
Gus Frat.
The second best quarterback in the division was Dante Culpepper.
Yeah.
I forget, Dante Culpepper was great. He blew out. Did he blew out his knee?
Yes.
Was a knee or a shoulder
thing?
No, it was a knee thing.
Yeah, it was bad, and from there he never recovered, but. From there, we brought back Brad Johnson. Oh my God!
Read me the list before Kirk Cousins and after Christian Ponder. That's an amazingly bad list of quarterbacks. Yeah.
Well, not. I mean, Christian Ponder. Then we have Matt Cassel.
And it is
Josh Freeman that year.
I do remember that year.
He took him from Tampa Bay.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we had Matt Cassel,
Bridgewater,
Christian Ponder.
That is remarkable. So,
oh my God.
Do you think is that just a bad luck that you just keep because I don't see a draft pick on there that worked out. Teddy Bridgewater was a draft pick, didn't work out.
He blew his knee out, though, too.
Was it a preseason or in training camp, right? Something.
So then they had to, after Teddy blew out his knee in 2015, that was the Sam Bradford. Remember him?
I do. Yeah. That's the thing, as a Packer fan, watching teams flounder around at quarterback has been one of my favorite things to watch. Watching this list of, there's been actual stability in the NFC North now, besides the Packers.
Yeah.
Because now every team, now the Packers have the least experienced starter in their division for the first time since probably Aaron Rodgers became a starter, right?
Hey, don't forget about Case Keenum.
Oh, no, Case Keenum was good. Case Keenum was a Pro Bowler. I'm pretty sure Case Keenum made the Pro Bowl.
We're in Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah. No, those are fun lists. Those are the disappointing quarterbacks of the NFC North.
But, before that, you're looking at Warren Moon.
Are you excited then for the Vikings to draft a quarterback then, right? They have to draft.
It wasn't last year. It wasn't Kirk Cousins' fault.
No. But one of these times it will be. Just like it was Aaron Rodgers' fault eventually. If you're not covered for that, you really got to you got to cover your bases. Yeah. So if you're the Vikings, you could draft.
I want them, but then I don't.
No, because there's the real good chance that they're going to turn into Dante Culpepper, Teddy Bridgewater, or Christian Ponder. Remember Christian Ponder?
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
You should blank that one out.
We're going to call tonight.
that's how we end this. This is how you swear, and we just go dead air for the next this hit, 2 minutes of dead air.
That's it. We have run out of time.
Darn it all, Maybe next year.
Okay.
I want to say this was our best show ever.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed every part of this one. Well written, by the way. Well researched. Well produced. You had good content
there.
Amateur or not, you produced today. Okay. So Friday at 9:30 is when you're hearing this. After that, you can listen to it again and again and again and again on Spotify. You can also catch all the music that we keep ripping through at the end and at the middles of the show. That's on there. And like I said, I listen to that playlist every week at work.
Yeah.
That's a fun one for me. I also listen to the show on Spotify too, just in case. But thank you very much. And can you please play us out with a song?
Yes. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, Boys to Men.
How do I?
That's good.
Bye, Aaron Rodgers. I'll miss you, buddy.
I won't.
The good time that made us laugh, I'll wait back. I thought we'd get to see forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye.